I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, the Bears are back. Training camp is upon us. We'll talk about what we learned at check-in day coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Jason, it's Tuesday afternoon. We've spoken to general manager Ryan Poles, head coach Ben Johnson, and quarterback Caleb Williams. I want to talk about the three big takeaways from them. But before we do, happy training camp.
Thank you, and same to you. I am really interested to see how this goes. I mean, this is the last 2 years with the Bears. Training camp has been really compelling.
Yeah.
Just because of the circumstances. You know, last year with the new quarterback coming in and Caleb Williams, this year with the new coach coming in and Ben Johnson. And for Ben Johnson, it's not your typical, you know, stepping into some kind of rebuild as a new head coach or something like that. The expectations are going to be to win now. And that's very unique. So I'm going to be really riveted to watch this for the next few weeks.
And he has very specific expectations for quarterback Caleb Williams. Let's talk about that. I guess that'll be the first big takeaway. His goals for Caleb are 70% completion percentage. Jason, that's a tremendous number. And then Caleb's own goals for himself are 4,000 receiving yards or passing yards, and then win a whole lot of football games.
That is not a tremendous number, 4,000 passing yards.
It is around here.
Pretty much everybody can do that.
Literally.
Only here is that a big number.
I had this in the paper the other day, Jason, that, you know, the best single season the Bears have had as a team, not an individual quarterback, but just as a team in passing, they had like 3,800-ish yards. And that was when they went 3-13 8 years ago or whatever. There have been 255 NFL teams who have done better in a single season. That's a lot of them. Anyway. Bears don't have a 4,000-yard passer. Caleb Williams thinks he can be the guy.
That's kind of a given. I don't even know that we need to. I mean, he's got to get that number. Well, somebody eventually is just going to walk into that number by playing enough games in the modern era that they're going to get to 4,000 yards.
Yeah, but Jay Cutler
400-something off of it last year.
Jay Cutler played in the modern era. Mitch Trubisky did. Justin Fields did. That didn't help him that much.
I think the 70% is a more interesting number because Caleb was way off that last year. You remember, if you think back to the book on him in the draft, is that this guy's a pinpoint accurate passer.
Right.
He was 67% or so completions at USC his last 2 years. And then his debut here was 14 out of 29.
Right.
And he was kind of shocked. He's like, I don't know what this is. This is not typical of me. He ends up at 62.5% completions for the season, which is near the bottom of the league.
Right.
70% is a high number, but it is a doable number, as Ben Johnson knows very well, because Jared Goff was 72.4 last year. Only Tua was ahead of him. 70% can be done in general. It's a really high number for Caleb, and it's also a really high number for him coming just in year two. Coming off of last season. And I think something that people are going to need to keep in mind as you watch training camp and Pat, possibly even the start of the season, is that even veteran quarterbacks have an acclimation period with a new play caller and with someone that wants to change their timing and their mechanics. So especially if you're in Caleb's situation where it's your second season, you were poorly coached last year, it's going to take some time for him to get there. It is interesting that Ben Johnson is so upfront with that, though. And he said, by extension, Patrick, 70% completions for the year, you can extrapolate. Ben Johnson basically said, you can extrapolate that to what I expect in practices, because you're not going to just be completing 62.5% in practices and suddenly go 70% in the game. That's what they're looking for. How soon do you want to see some signs that Caleb is capable of that?
Some signs? I don't know, tomorrow? Wednesday?
Practice number one?
Consistent signs. I'm willing to admit that, some of these practices on backfields maybe don't carry the heft that sometimes we want to put on them, especially early on. Now, we lived through training camps where the defense was killing Mitch Trubisky. And the Bears try to explain it away by, they get to see him every day, so they have an advantage. We've been to training camps where Justin Fields looked terrible. And we've heard it explained away as, well, you know, he can't really take off and run during a training camp practice, so it's not really the same thing. And the truth is, those were both harbingers of bad stuff to come.
The problems you saw then showed
up
in the season.
Were the problems you saw, yeah, absolutely. And so in that sense, I think we do need to see progress pretty consistently here. And, you know, Caleb played a lot of snaps last year, played almost 99% of the Bears' snaps. He's got this Rolodex underneath him now. He's got the play-calling head coach. The list of excuses that we could have made a year ago are pretty much gone. So, yeah, I do expect him to be better than we've seen, and I expect him to be better in 2 weeks than he is today. If not, what are we doing?
He said Tuesday he loves the infrastructure. He loves the coaching staff. He loves the roster with the offensive line. I mean, he's got what he needs to succeed. And I agree with you that we should see it fairly quickly as far as, you know, there's still going to be some things to work through with his footwork and timing and adjusting to Ben Johnson playing quarterback the way Ben Johnson insists that he plays, which is a change from last year. I think there was a lot more of deference, even though he was a rookie, of, hey, you do it your way, kid. And Ben Johnson is saying, I will teach you how to be a good, you want to be coached hard, you say, I'm gonna make you prove that. But I think, you know, last year when you're watching Caleb, you would see these drives when they would go 7-on-7 or even, you know, 11-on-11, where it'd be like four really ugly mm-hmm. passes in a row, and then something out of the matrix.
Right.
Something
yeah.
crazy where he just threads it through all these defenders right into the end zone for a touchdown. And you would say, okay, well, what we saw first is kind of the rookie struggles, and then what we saw at the end is the potential. That's the capability that he has at his high end. I think there needs to be much, much more of that, even at the start. There needs to be much more competency and just knowing exactly where the ball needs to go and when it needs to go.
And he even said, you know, that part of the homework that Ben Johnson sent him home with was he was making inaccurate throws into the flat on his left during OTAs. You know, that's a little thing, but that's an easy 4 or 5 yards. And even Caleb said, hey, you know, I can't just be the young guy trying to make the giant play every time. And he did fall victim to that both last year and in his last year at USC.
That's where the 70% completions comes in, because Ben Johnson is just obsessed with this passing efficiency.
Yeah.
And when you take a guy like Caleb Williams and you say, oh, he, you know, coming up, you know, through USC in the draft, oh, he's a Mahomes type player. Right. Well, that's not exactly
right.
Mahomes is amazing, but he's not necessarily the most efficient
right.
as a passer. It's more like feast or famine, and he gives you a lot more
yeah.
feast than famine.
Well, and I interpret a lot of these Ben Johnson things about what's the quarterback rating that he's
EPA.
EPA.
Yeah.
As
that's what I'm talking about.
You can throw an interception. That's okay. I mean, Caleb Williams threw very, 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 very few interceptions
Six.
Last year. And that did not mean that the Bears had a good offense. If anything, you'd probably trade a couple of those for a handful of touchdowns. Jason, I want to get to item two here if I can. What's going on with Jalen Johnson?
Well, the Bears say that he's got a leg injury and it's going to take a little while. So he's on the NFI list, but not a concern big picture. Jalen made a comment recently about wanting to talk to Poles about his contract, maybe tongue-in-cheek.
Mm-hmm.
He's about to go into year two of a four-year deal. So it's not exactly time to talk about renegotiating or extending. Although, you know, Xavier Howard, I think, had 2 years left
mm-hmm.
when he got his extension
mm-hmm.
In renegotiation with the Dolphins a few years back. So I don't think it's an issue right now. I would imagine that he is actually – we've seen nothing from Jalen Johnson that indicates he's actually trying to do some kind of power play or something
no.
like that. I would imagine it's what they said it is today, at least, that it's a leg injury and it's going to take him a few weeks to be ready. Why would you want to rush – if that's – let's just say that's true, that he's got a little leg injury,
yeah.
like a tweak or, you know, just something. They didn't give us specifics on Tuesday. But why would you want to rush a guy like him
– right.
out onto the field playing cornerback, playing a speed position, and somebody that you're not worried about, by the way.
Right.
There's no real retooling or changing Jalen Johnson's game. You need him to come out and be the Jalen Johnson that he's been, so you need him to be healthy. You got a conspiracy theory for this?
No, I don't. No, I don't. But I want to read you Ryan Poles' quote. Jalen Johnson, he started on NFI. When he was training, he had a leg injury. I'm not going to get into the details of that. It is going to take a few weeks before he can come back. We've got a lot of faith that he's going to put in the time to rehab and be his full self when he comes back. I'm sure we'll have updates as we go through training camp, but it's going to take a little bit of time, but not overly concerned about it long term. I think that it was, we should say this now, it was also a definite break from tradition that Ryan Poles talked for a couple of minutes, gave all of these updates about Jalen, about a couple of players that they signed, about his own contract, at least acknowledging that he signed it, and then said, and I'm not going to take questions, here's Ben. That is not the way the Bears have operated.
That's not the way everybody operates. I mean, the GM usually will talk and take questions at the beginning, and Ryan Poles has for the last several years.
Right. So that makes this a little bit more whatever. But, I mean, Jalen Johnson is, you could argue that he's their best player at any position. But then, like you said, he signed his contract 16 months ago. Like, the contract thing, I don't think is the driver on this. It'll be interesting. It's also, you know, it's notable, I guess, that they signed Trey Flowers. He's an 8-year veteran. Hasn't played a lot in the last 2 years.
5 games last season for the Colts and Jags.
And Jags, who weren't very good teams, if I remember correctly. But, you know, he's your backfill guy there. And, you know, if there's an upshot to it, it's that, you know, Terrell Smith and Tyreek Stevenson, I was going to try and make a joke.
Josh Blackwell.
Yeah, I mean, those guys, I mean, the extra reps them or for them are probably a good thing at this time of year. Now, if it's 3 weeks down the line and we have no more clarity on Jalen, that's going to be a different conversation.
I think if Jalen's back in 3 weeks, they're, you know, ready to go, this is really not an issue. Jalen Johnson has been so good for them for so long. Although, you know, like, I don't think that there's a conspiracy theory here. I really, really don't.
Right.
Keep the clip of that to play when it becomes one later, and I should have seen it coming. But, I mean, if he did, Jalen Johnson would have, you know, he's like going through the buffet of all the different things you could have happen as a Chicago Bear, requesting a trade, then re-signing, and now, you know, if he's wanting to redo his deal with 3 years left on it, that would be quite a long list of interesting things to happen while also being among the best in the league at his position, if not the best. I mean, some people would make the case he is the best corner in the league. He just doesn't have the stats that show it as far as interceptions and things like that. What he has is the stats of people don't throw at him.
Well, and here's why it matters that he's not on the field at this time. And we talk about, of course, he's probably the last guy you have to worry about, but he is learning a new scheme. And the scheme in the Dennis Allen runs is a lot of man coverage. And that is just a different skill set than he's been asked to show the last couple of years. And, you know, one that I think, if he plays it well, will lead to some of those counting stats that get your attention. If you're playing a shell Tampa 2 defense, sometimes it's just your job to stay with him and, you know, tackle the guy, you know, when he catches a short pass. I think that's worth keeping an eye on. And you're right, he did request a trade a couple of years ago. Do you remember that? Right at the trade deadline. And the Bears essentially said, if we could get a first-round pick for you, we'd do it. And they couldn't. And
they said, didn't. Hey, we'll give you what you want.
Yep. And then they didn't trade him. And then he stayed and claimed he was happy and then signed a huge extension. So maybe the smartest thing to ever happen to him. Item 3 here, Jason. And, I mean, for me, this is I'm going to lump them all together. I'm going to cheat here. Colson Loveland, good to go. Might be limited. In the early part of training camp after recovering from a shoulder injury. And Braxton Jones, good to go, probably limited, while recovering from an ankle surgery.
Well, on the limited, can we clarify real quick?
Ramp up here.
Healthy enough to participate full go right now, but they are saying these guys haven't played in so long.
Right.
You would want to have them ramp up to that level of exercise and competition.
Yeah, which is common. And not that
so it's unusual. Not like they're still kind of recovering. It's not limited in that way.
Right. But, you know, it's a pretty busy news day when the number 10 overall pick being healthy enough to actually practice football, you know, comes up at minute 14 of the podcast. The Bears knew when they drafted him that it was going to be a 6-month recovery from the shoulder surgery. This is turning out to be exactly that. What do you think he can be, at least early on.
I don't think that they are really expecting him to be a lot early on. I don't think they need him to be. This whole thing about Ben Johnson and two tight ends, it is true that he has this propensity to play two tight ends. But it's so, so rare in the NFL, and including last year's Lions with Ben Johnson as offensive coordinator, that you have two tight ends that are highly productive in the passing game. Right. They had Sam LaPorta in Detroit last year, and then the next guy, I forget his name, is it like Brock Smith or something like that, had like 16 catches for the year.
Right.
You're not going to have Cole Kmet and Colston Loveland out there getting 60 to 80 catches. I think the way that this looks to me, and things could change depending on what Kmet shows you, what Loveland shows you. Kmet is there for this year to be cover for Loveland to grow into what is arguably the toughest position for a rookie to learn and master other than quarterback.
Right.
I think after that, it's going to be Colston Loveland, and Cole Kmet is probably a cap casualty and ends up somewhere else. For now, you don't need Loveland to be... You just need him to learn and start getting some good production, good reps out on the field.
Yeah, and you know, he doesn't have to just compete against Kmet, who, you know, he's under contract for another couple of years, but they do have an out, you know, for lack of a better phrase, an out at the end of this year. He's competing with Kmet, but he's also competing with Luther Burden. You know, he's also competing with the temptation to run four receiver sets with Olamide Zaccheaus. He's competing with DeAndre Swift, who, you know, say what you will about his inability to hit the hole on time last year, but he's one of the better pass-catching running backs out there. The Bears have a lot of options, and they're not going to be staring at Colston Loveland, even though he's the number 10 overall pick, and saying we got to force it to this guy. If anything, there might be too many cooks as opposed to too few. Do you remember that? Have you ever seen the Too Many Cooks TV intro?
No.
Oh, I'll have to send it to you. It's and as for Braxton Jones, Ben Johnson said, this guy's got experience, so I suppose he's got an edge over Ozzie Trapio, the second-round pick, and Karan Amagaji, the third-rounder from here earlier.
That's a very accurate retelling of what Ben Johnson said.
Yep.
Well, he did not say, hey, this guy's got the edge because of his experience.
Right.
He said, well, I suppose he would. He said it just like you said it.
Do you think in a perfect world that Braxton – do you think they want Braxton to win this job?
No.
Oh, you don't?
Okay. No. Okay. I think that's the safety net. Okay. I think that is the baseline. If nothing else, it's Braxton Jones next to an overhauled interior offensive line. That should be good enough.
Right.
I think what their preference would be that Trapillo, probably would be Johnson's preference, overtakes him and makes it clear that he's a better player and even as a rookie, you know, gives you a better shot. And truth be told, Patrick, I mean, how often do you draft an offensive tackle in the first or second round? Second round, we'll say, and they sit on the bench.
Right.
I mean, usually you draft somebody like that because you envision them as someone who can start right away. First and second round picks are not usually these long-term developmental projects.
Braxton's got another year left on his deal. This is final season.
This is it. Yeah.
I think it's a tremendous problem to have.
Oh, it's great.
If Braxton is who he was last year, which is pretty competent left tackle, I would say that
he's fine.
And you know, and if you've got him going into the last year of his deal, you've got a rookie who maybe isn't ready in week one, but can be ready by week eight. I think that's what good teams do, right?
Well, I mean, imagine Braxton Jones as your swing tackle. I mean, think about who they have had in emergency situations at tackle over the last few years. Larry Borum and Karan Amagaji as a rookie who didn't go through training camp that particular year. I mean, Braxton Jones off your bench, if there was an injury, is a really, really good contingency plan.
Also, think about the health they've had at O-line the last 5 years. They're going to need a swing tackle. They're going to need, if history's any indication, they're going to need a pretty deep bench there as well.
You can't have 10, so you need guys that can do a lot. And Braxton Jones, we don't know if he can, you know, I don't know, at least off the top of my head, what his experience on the right side is if he was needed over there. So, I mean, the Bears have to, Ben Johnson said today about the, or said Tuesday about the offensive line, something like, we'll have our starting five by week one. You need it a lot sooner than that.
Right.
I think they need it much earlier than that, and they need to be able to. One of the reasons they need that is continuity. That's obvious. You want the five guys working together as much as possible to be ready for week one. But the other one, Patrick, is you got to know what the plan is so you know where to work out certain guys. If Braxton Jones is your starting left tackle, then he doesn't need to take reps anywhere but there. If he's not,
right.
then he needs to be working at right tackle as well.
Right.
And you need to start filling in other people. Okay, Karan Amagaji, got to be playing guard and maybe even some center to see if he can do it. You're only going to carry 8 offensive linemen
right.
on the active roster. You need 3 guys that can fill any of the 5 positions.
Ryan Bates still exists, by the way.
3 guys that collectively yes. could fill.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've got Ryan Bates, who's been hurt the last couple of years. You've got, you know, a couple of these younger players. It'll be interesting as we go along. And, Jason, there will be plenty of time to talk about it. Training camp first day is Wednesday, and then the Bears get after it until what? First off day Sunday, is that right?
I think they go 5 days in a row, take Sunday off, yeah.
Yeah, and then 4 days in a row, I believe, after that. I think that's the case. Anyway,
sure if I have that right. 4 days in a row and then Sunday off.
Yeah, we will be here to talk about all of it. You can follow Jason and I on social media. Check us out at the Sun-Times website. Buy a paper if you live in town. And please like, rate, and review the show. He's Jason Leisure. I'm Pat Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again soon.